Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Hey. What Rob. Time did you wake up to watch the Tony Award nominations?
Oh, I was
on Tuesday morning.
8:15. I couldn't wait. I was in bed. My wife was sleeping very peacefully next to me. She was sleeping peacefully for about 25 minutes until they started announcing them, and I got very, very excited by it all.
Do you think she just like took a bunch of pillows and stuffed them under the covers and put a blonde wig on it because she knew that you were going to queen out?
It really was.
You have no idea. It's not her.
I was so excited. I didn't even set an alarm, but it's like my body knew. I knew to wake up and watch. It was my first time actually watching them live, to be honest.
You never watched live
I've
before?
I've never watched them live before.
Last year was good because it was Leslie Odom Jr. and somebody's going to yell at the name.
Catherine McPhee.
Because
she mispronounced a couple of
everyone. Nobody could pronounce anything correctly.
That's correct.
But this time we had B.B. Newworth.
Right, and Brandon Victor Dixon.
Absolutely. Although, as much as I love B.B. Newworth, Hammerstein.
Boy, she got a lot.
Sorry.
Boy, everybody on Twitter, because I was watching Twitter whilst it was going on, and there was a lot of, she got a little flack for that.
Susan Shulman told me the best way to remember it is Hammerstein, like a Steinway piano.
Nice.
Because that's what he would have been playing.
Yes, not a Steinway piano.
Not a Steinway.
No,
a Stein.
No way.
And then I liked when Brandon Victor Dixon was like Bernard Hamilton.
I was like, that. Well, you were in it, so
I
you
was
know.
Like, that makes sense.
Okay, that makes
Good
sense
for you guys.
I thought. It was Gail, her follow-up questions.
It was Gail.
I did have to change the channel at that moment, though. It was a little awkward.
I was watching on New York One because it's Roma Torre, who I love.
I wish I had New York One because I love their coverage.
And I love Frank Dallella, too, but Roma.
And his hair.
God, I wish I had Frank's hair.
I know. I think he wakes up like that.
I saw him once sitting next to me at the theater.
I think, folks,
he is as perfect.
Yes.
Off camera as
Same.
He is on camera.
Yes.
He's like perfectly coiffed,
yep.
perfectly made up. So good for you, Frank
yes.
Dallella. But Roma Torre, I just love her because you can tell this is like her World Series day. This is her like draft
all year for this. This is her fantasy football draft, you know, that time of year.
Exactly.
It's like, so serious.
She is pumped.
Yeah.
She is ready. So on New York One, really quickly. So what happened was is they did the first 10 nominations and then they were like, we're going to take a break in the nominating room because they were taking a break for Good Morning America. Does that make sense?
That does. Okay. I was wondering, because on Facebook Live, I was like, oh, this is it. They're just going to do those categories.
So,
and that's it.
So she wrapped it up on Good Morning America, but then Roma Torre had to talk for a second, and they had just done Best Play, and To Kill a Mockingbird and Network were nowhere to be seen.
No.
Roma Torre, she looked devastated. Her eyes were like wide
really?
As saucers. Her mouth was wide open. And the guy was like, Roma, you okay? And she goes, wow.
She spoke for us all.
She goes, wow, what an upset. And you could tell she was excited. She knew it was a game changer that day.
She knew all 10 of us were going to be really into that moment. Yeah.
So thanks, Roma.
I love that.
So don't forget, everybody, the week of the Tony, leading up to the, 2 weeks before leading up to the Tony Awards,
correct.
We will do our Tony Awards podcast.
Mm-hmm.
One podcast will be all about the best plays that are nominated. The next week we'll do the best musicals that are nominated. And our favorite things that week will be different things. One of them will be who the biggest snubs egregiously overlooked.
Which obviously we've already got our two right there.
Oh,
hello.
To Kill a Mockingbird, Network, and I don't even want to start talking about Bonnie Milligan or George Salazar.
I was just going to say, yes, Mr. Salazar.
I'm saving my anger.
Your vitriol for...
My vitriol for when
yes,
we do this.
I agree.
And then also we give out awards to categories that are not in the Tony Awards, but we feel should be in the Tony
right.
Awards. Things like Best Ensemble
mm-hmm.
and Best Song of the Year. And as we've done since we've started this podcast, our wonderful Tony Award historian, Brian Hobgood, will be joining us again to give us his picks. But this was a exciting nomination announcement.
Oh, and the great categories, great categories. Great. I'm really excited. Yeah, I've been coaching and working with Caitlin Kinnunen for the last 10 years, and I literally screamed when I heard her name in bed, and that woke up my baby and my wife. My baby is not born yet, but the baby still was woken up by my booming voice.
Caitlin nominated for
Best Actress in a Musical. Yeah.
For The Prom.
For The Prom, yeah, with Beth. Amazing.
Yay. Oh, Beth.
So it's going to be exciting time.
It's also very cool that so many of our former guests got nominated. People like Beth and Andre.
Clint Ramos and the costume design.
And William Ivy Long.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure there's others that...
Tons and tons. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Larry Hawkman, orchestrations.
Uranowitz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brandon, three-time Tony nominee.
Isn't that crazy?
Three-time Tony nominee, Brandon Uranowitz. I love him. He's such a good guy.
I would be remiss, just to switch subjects, to talk about what we talked about last week regarding... Remember I put out there, you know, they talked about how Anais Mitchell for Hadestown, who's nominated as well, of course, you know, is the fourth of an all, you know, book music lyrics on Broadway. She's the fourth female writer to do that. And I would like to give a shout out to two people. But first, Dana Sloter, who I follow on Twitter. She's been a follower of ours since the very beginning. Dana, also a side note, if you follow her on Twitter, it's really cool. For the last, since the year started, she's every single day, she writes about a woman of excellence in all forms of life. And it's all different kinds of women. And every single day, there's a whole thread that you can just see all these great women of the world. But her handle is... It's funny. Dana Nobis Pacem. DanaNobisPacem. For all you Twitter people, she's real fun to follow. But she was one of the first people to correct us, or at least give us the insight of who those other writers are. And then John Moss, yes. Shelter, Gretchen and Nancy Ford, Gretchen Cryer and Nancy Ford, they wrote Shelter on Broadway. You're exactly right. Two female writers for the price of one. They wrote book, music, and lyrics. Well, one of them wrote book and music. Music, and the other wrote book and lyrics. But the other three, I'm kicking myself for the other one. So Mickey Grant, we got Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope. And then also, she wrote It's So Nice to Be Civilized, for which she did write the book as well, book, music, and lyrics. Also, Liz Suedos for Runaways in 1978. Yeah. And then I can't believe the fourth one, because I worked on this show as a music assistant. It was for A Tale of Two Cities by Jill Santoriello. So there are the other women that we were looking for this trivia.
Thank you, everybody.
And you're welcome next time you guys go to trivia night at the local bar.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
Because that's going to be a question.
Because I'm sure they'll ask that a lot.
Yeah,
boy. Yeah, I'm sure they'll ask that a lot. You know, who are the four?
Here's one of them. Now name the other three. No, I appreciated just getting to the bottom of that, because I think that's a really interesting thing to talk about, and it's important that we do recognize that.
I agree 110%, and I'm so happy that that was mentioned, and I just wish the article had been more specific so we didn't have to do so much work.
Two.
Because I'm a lazy man. What's that from My Fair Lady? I'm an ordinary man.
Yes. I'm an ordinary man.
Lazy doesn't skin. I'm an apathetic man.
I like that. That's good.
That's good.
Nice.
Who never could, never would, get off his fat ass to do some research.
Nice.
You did it. You did it.
You should broke submit a sweat. Yourself you did for that. It. Why don't you? I'm going to submit. You know what? Get casting. We're going to.
For Henry Higgins?
Yeah.
Who would want to see me as Henry
Higgins?
I
don't know, but I would.
Oh, yeah, maybe at Lincoln Center.
I was going to say the Muni, but yeah, sure.
The Muni where I'm
just
really,
like enough,
really
yeah,
far away.
Yeah, football field away.
At the Muni, I could be Freddie Einsford Hill. Nobody would know the
that
difference.
That is true. I'll be being the boy in Fantastics at the Muni.
I'll be the boy in the Fantastics.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Well, in keeping with the Tony theme,
okay,
my favorite thing this week has to do with the Tony Awards.
What year are you going to talk about?
Oh, we're well, no, it's actually not a broadcast this year.
Oh.
Also, hold on. A shout out.
There was
really
no
quickly.
Shade there. Oh, yeah. Okay.
My Little Tony's podcast is on a little hiatus.
Oh.
I love that podcast,
I know.
And they're on a hiatus.
Because when listeners, I'm sure you know this because you guys follow us. But whenever one of my podcasts is not there when I think it is, and I have my schedule, and it really does change my day because I think, well, what am I going to do on my commute?
But they said they're taking a break they're getting all their next season prepared, so that it's a research thing. So they're coming back.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that. So no, this is not an actual year. It's an event that happened around the Tony Awards, and it's dealing with the 1996 Tony Awards.
Oh.
And it's something we talk about every year, and I realized it's never been a favorite thing. It is Julie Andrews declining her Tony Award nomination.
We've heard stories of it from guests before, people that were part of the situation or competing with her that year, but that was quite an event.
Well, folks, if you remember, Julie Andrews was doing Victor Victoria.
Sorry. Those of you who know, you know exactly what that was.
Let's keep the jazz hot. And if you remember, Julie, what are you looking out the window? What do you
see? I don't know. There's something going on across the way. Sorry,
Kevin sees something. Is it Julie Andrews? Is she flying in like Mary Poppins? You're
imagine.
Talking about me. Julie Andrews was doing Victor Victoria, which was a musical adaptation of the 1982 film directed by her husband, Blake Edwards. And this production starred her and Tony Roberts and Rachel York and all of these fun people. Show opened not to very strong reviews, mm-hmm. If we remember that correctly. And she'd received the only Tony Award nomination out of every single person involved with that show. Nobody else got nominated. It was just Julie Andrews for Best Actress. And she declined the nomination.
She didn't want that.
She declined the nomination, and she said she was declining it because she forgot she preferred to stand with her quote-unquote egregiously overlooked end quote company. The egregiously overlooked company. So... while we like to make fun of this all the time, not making fun of her. That's incredible.
You can do whatever you want. You can take your nom. You can leave your nom, whatever.
Leave your nom at the door.
Yes.
But not your nom, because I'll get hungry.
Right.
She said that she was not going to accept the nomination, and so egregiously overlooked has sort of been this lingo that's been in our business ever since she used this terminology. But very exciting, if you go over to YouTube and you just type in Julie Andrews declines Tony nomination, the channel known as Aurora Spider-Woman...
Oh, I love that channel.
...posted a mashup of all the news clips from 1996 of the thunderbolt that went through the community of her declining the nomination. So you've just heard about it here, but you can go on to Aurora Spider-Woman's channel and just type in Julie Andrews declines Tony nomination, and you can see the mid-90s reporters not knowing what to do.
Oh, my goodness. Especially
who announced the Tonys that year? We know that it was Brandon Victor Dixon and Bebe Neuwirth this year, but in 1996, who announced
them? Gosh, who would have been big, like from the year before in 95 that they won? Patti LuPone or
very
Glenn Close.
Good. Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone.
Patti LuPone.
Wow, I can't believe I pulled that out.
And then who was the guy? You're so good. Patti LuPone is the girl,
gosh.
But the woman, who's the guy?
Who was the guy in 95?
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
He was starring in a revival at the time. Mm-hmm. He was a big movie star.
Oh, boy.
He was starring in a revival of a Frank Lesser musical.
Oh.
He maybe had a day off, and that's why he could come do the nominations.
Was it? Help me.
It's Matthew Broderick.
Oh my gosh! I didn't even think about that.
Was Matthew Broderick and Patti LuPone?
Of course, yeah.
In Julie Andrews' defense, I just want to say that maybe Patty had announced a lot of people from Victor Victoria, but you just couldn't understand what she was saying.
I don't know.
Yeah, and Julie, they're all egregiously overlooked. Meanwhile, Victor Victoria would have swept had she.
And by the way, while you're at Aurora Spider-Woman's channel, you know, looking up this clip of Rob's, stay for the rest of the clips that are there, because you'll have spent hours and hours going down that rabbit hole, because that was one of the best channels. And for a while, it was taken down, I believe, and it's back again, and I'm very,
yes,
very happy about it.
So my feeling is if you have the ability to download clips from YouTube, I would do it because...
You can do that?
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a thing you can use.
What?
Yeah, I use something called UMMY, UMMY Video Downloader. Once again, that's UMMY Video Downloader.
Oh my gosh, I had absolutely no idea.
You take the link and you just paste it into this application, and it downloads whatever the YouTube clip is for you.
Onto your computer or your telephone? I mean, on your
I do it on my computer. Oh, I've never tried it on my cell phone. I only do it on my computer.
No,
so UMMY Video Downloader.
All right, good.
So that's mine, folks. Julie Andrews declining her Tony nomination from 1996. The best musical. Thank you. What's
going on?
I
like that one. So I've been going recently. I've been really into these something that I'm missing in today's New York City, and that is the cabaret world and the interpretation of songs and arranging songs in a way that was, you know, sort of, you know, putting a new light onto these old traditional songs that you may have heard in a musical, but then, you know, you put a little arrangement, put a little bongo drums, and you've got Come Rain or Come Shine, Judy Garland. But there's a whole slew of these singers that we hear about in the interviews. Leroy knew half of them, I feel like. But these great, great, great singers that they have all these albums on Spotify and Apple Music, and you can go to the store and buy them and everything. And so I've been exploring some of these singers. So in the coming weeks, you're going to hear a couple of these because they're just really special. And one of them is an album. I'm going to talk about the woman and the album, but this, Leroy talked about Tammy Grimes recently. When she passed away, when we had when we did our memoriam last year. And I've recently gone down a rabbit hole, and you will know Tammy Grimes. She won a Tony for the Unsinkable Molly Brown and for Private Lives in like 1979-80. But she was known for this sort of, how shall I call it? There was a quote, they call it a quote, lyric baritone. I call it more of a husky baritone. It's kind of like Eartha Kitt a little bit, but she's got this really specific sounding voice. And there's an album she released, this sort of cabaret type albums called The Unmistakable Tammy Grimes.
What a fun, clever name for an album.
It's
Unmistakable.
So fun. I think
it's
from like
Grimes.
1964, I believe it came out.
Oh, I love that.
And it's she was known for doing the cabaret circuit, and she was on a couple of Ben Bagley albums, you know. And incidentally, she was actually supposed to be in Bewitched, the TV show, but turned it down to have her own TV show that only lasted a month. So
who was she supposed to be? The witch?
She was the Elizabeth
Montgomery?
Yeah.
Kevin, you just taught me trivia about television. I did not know.
I cannot believe I just did that.
I can die happy.
But this album, guys, it's really fun and kooky. And I love her voice. I love the way she interprets these songs. And all the songs they're a mix of like kind of weird, funky little, you know, throwaway songs, you might say, like Toot 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 Goodbye is what opens it. There's Miss Otis Regrets is one of my favorite songs. But then or Just Squeeze Me But Don't Tease Me. And then she'll sing songs like Bye Bye Blackbird or My Man or Time After Time, Lullaby of Broadway, I Do Anything. But all songs we know, but with these arrangements spun onto them, which almost can put you into whatever cabaret space that she was performing at 11 o'clock at night after one of her shows or something like that. And I lament that we don't really... Yes, we can go to where you work at 54 Below, and we can see some great concerts, or we can go to the Green Room, but we don't really have this sense of everyone after a Broadway show saying, okay, where are we going to go after this, and who are we going to see, and what kind of, you know, traditional musical theater songs are we going to enjoy with a new arrangement thrown on top of them? You know, you'd go to Brothers and Sisters and Reno Sweeney's and all these places that I wish I could go back in time and know what it was like to see all of these acts. Everyone had an act.
I'm wondering if because scores have gotten harder to sing and there's such an emphasis now on vocal health that if that's one of the things that's curbing people from doing a show after a show.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe just the nightlife changed.
Totally. Well, I'm sure that's a part. There's not as many venues. And also, I mean, people do an act. I mean, people will do a one night at 54, but it's more of an event for that one time, whereas these were more informal. I don't want to say they were thrown together, but, you know, everyone went to see each other's acts. I think finances are a big part of it.
Of course.
Things cost so much money. You've got to have your 8-drink minimum, and you've got to pay your fee to get in. You know, it's
I
and then on top of a Broadway ticket, I mean, that's a very expensive night out.
It is.
So I kind of get it, but I just, you know, it's a pipe dream, but I wish that we could, you know, have that still, because what a great way to see someone that you saw on a show, see that talent, but then see them showcased for what they really do.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So my favorite thing this week is the great Tammy Grimes and the album Unmistakable Tammy Grimes. Check it out, because it is really unmistakable.
I can't wait. Is it on like Apple Music or Spotify and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, you can check it out there.
Then I will take a listen to it. And also, very quickly, we have to honor somebody that we lost in the theater community that just passed away, somebody that we were trying to get as a guest. And unfortunately, the timing never worked out, but I had met her a couple of times. She was a lovely individual. Mm-hmm. Sullivan Lesser.
Right, speaking of Lesser. Boy.
Yeah, Frank Lesser's widow, but obviously she was the original Rosabella in Most Happy Fella.
Yeah.
Had a great, great, great career. And I have a great story about her that I'll tell you all next time.
Oh, you tease.
It's called a cliffhanger. Joe Sullivan Lesser cliffhanger. That's Petty LuPone saying.
That was good.
I understood the melody of Anything Goes, but we'll go from there. What did she say in her autobiography? She's like, people say they can't understand me. That's their fault.
Because some words, she does, really, you hear the consonants really
strong.
You listen to Evita and you're like, oh yeah, there's a couple consonants for you.
Who needs words? Words, words, words. I'm so sick of words. So I'll come back full circle to My Fair Lady. All right, till next time.
Tune in next week. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.